Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Operators of Pritchard Steel here in Lincoln County care nothing about the welfare of the citizens of our county. They are doing their very best to make their rum popular with every person who lives here. Do they not know that rum makes people drunk, destroys their livers, adversely affects their brains, just like beer, vodka, and whiskey? If liquor manufacturers cared about the people of our nation, especially the young people, they would never make one more drop of strong drink. But the motivation for the manufacture of beverage alcohol is now, and always has been, money. It is no big deal if their product makes alcoholics or kills a few thousand people, so long as they can live high on the hog. Who cares about what happens to people foolish enough to imbibe the death-dealing drug? The Elk Valley Times, Wednesday, September the 19th, 2007, printed an advertisement with the caption, Retail Liquor License Notice. Pritchard Distillery, Incorporated, has applied to the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners and has or will apply to the Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission in Nashville for a retail liquor license for a store to be named the Rum Shop at Pritchard's Distillery, Incorporated. The advertisement invites anyone who wishes to meet with the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners on October the 16th, 2007. If you are interested, you can contact the Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission in Nashville through your attorney or in person. Page 12A. Do you have any concern about the moral and spiritual atmosphere of our county and our state? Do you honestly believe that another liquor store will be good for our citizens, especially for our children and teenagers? Do you want further contamination by the liquor industry? Do you want your children or your neighbor's children to be tempted by a rum saloon in our midst? I'm fully aware that the Pritchards are not calling their infamous establishment a saloon, but that is what it is, or will be. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines the word saloon as follows. It is a room or establishment in which alcoholic beverages are sold or consumed. Page 1013. Is that not what the Pritchards have in mind? A room or establishment where body-destroying and mind-numbing rum is sold. The word saloon has a more negative connotation than the word shop, and we need to use the most disgusting and negative terms available for such an establishment. If you have any concern for the welfare of our community, please appear before the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners and plead your case. Of this, you can be absolutely sure. The drunks and drinkers will be there to support the Pritchards in their nefarious activities. Do you believe God will excuse you from taking responsibility for what occurs in our county? You may not be able to halt the sale of rum in Pritchard's saloon, but at least you can let people know whose side you're on. You cannot be unaware of the Bible's teaching on strong drink. The wise man Solomon advised, Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20:1. In his very scholarly commentary on Proverbs, Dr. Alan P. Ross of Dallas Theological Seminary makes these wise observations on this verse from Proverbs. The use of alcohol can lead to very foolish behavior. The drinks in this verse are wine and beer, made from grapes and grain. The excessive use of intoxicants excites the drinker to boisterous behavior and aggressive and belligerent attitudes. It confuses the sense so that he is out of control. The only evaluation possible is that whoever imbibes is unwise. It just is not sensible to drink to excess. Moreover, given the ease with which one may make a habit of this, it is wise to avoid alcohol entirely. Page 1039. I must add to what Dr. Ross has written. Men and women who drink and drive are especially foolish and dangerous when they're driving 5,000-pound automobiles at speeds of 70 or 80 miles per hour. Do liquor manufacturers know these words from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk? Woe unto him who makes his neighbors drink. You pour out your wrath and make him drink in order to gaze on their nakedness. Habakkuk 2:15. The messianic prophet insists, Woe unto them who rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, until wine inflame them. Isaiah 5:11. In his excellent commentary on Isaiah, Homer Haley writes, Generally, men rise up early in the morning to pursue worthy occupations, but not the people of Judah. They rise up early in the morning that they may follow strong drink. This is not an occasional thing, but a daily practice. Drinking has become a way of life with the people. Strong drink not only includes wine from the grape, but also intoxicants from various sources, especially wines from fruit, honey, raisins, dates, and so on, including barley wine or beer. Moreover, the drinking continues late into the night till wine inflame them. Page 66. Isaiah also wrote, Woe unto them who are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Isaiah 5:22. I wonder if the preachers have ever read these biblical passages. Do they care what the Word of God teaches? Not likely. At the time when millions of Americans, especially the parents of teenagers, are deeply concerned about the destructiveness of beverage alcohol, the preachers want to add to the problem by opening a saloon where people can drink and drink until they have lost what good sense they have. When drinkers leave the Pritchard Saloon, will they have automobile accidents because of their drinking? When, not if, they have accidents, will the preachers feel any responsibility for those tragedies? Not likely. Will they attend the funerals of those who are killed by the people who drink Pritchard's fine rum? Will they visit the hospital to pay their respects to those they have helped to put in the hospitals? Not likely. Recently, while renewing my Tennessee driver's license, I picked up a little leaflet entitled, The Cost of Drinking and Driving. Is it worth it? Published by the Tennessee Department of Safety. I want to read the entire leaflet with the hope that some people will listen and take heed. The following statistics should be sobering. Motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death among persons between the ages of 3 and 33. Approximately 50% of all children killed in motor vehicle crashes are victims of alcohol-related crashes. In the United States, an average of one person is killed in an alcohol-related crash every 31 minutes. Those deaths represent 40% of all traffic fatalities. About 3 in every 10 persons will be involved in an alcohol-related crash at some time in their lives. Approximately 32% of all Tennessee roadway fatalities are alcohol-related. An estimated 513,000 people are injured in alcohol-related crashes each year, an average of 59 people per hour, or approximately one person per minute. How many people will Pritchard's Saloon add to these tragic statistics? To believe an extra saloon will make no difference is to be blind and hard-hearted, or both. The little leaflet outlines the costs of being arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. The first offense is considered a misdemeanor. The fine can range between $350 and $1,500. The person can spend 24 hours and 11 months and 29 days in jail. The driver's license will be suspended for 1 year. The person must perform community service by removing litter from a state highway for a period of 24 hours while wearing an orange-colored vest bearing the words, I am a drunk driver. The second offense is also treated as a misdemeanor. It carries a fine ranging from $600 to $3,500. The person can be jailed for 45 days to 11 months and 29 days. The person's driver's license will be suspended for 2 years. If the second conviction occurs within 5 years of the first, an ignition interlock program will be installed. The person must enroll for 6 months following reinstatement of driver's license. The person's vehicle is subject to seizure and/or forfeiture. Oddly enough, the third offense for drunk driving is also a misdemeanor. The fine can range from $500 to $10,000. The offender can spend from 120 days to 11 months and 29 days in jail. The person's driver's license can be suspended from 3 to 10 years. The fourth offense for driving under the influence will be a Class E felony. The driver can be fined between $3,000 and $15,000 and imprisoned for not less than 150 consecutive days. The driver's license is suspended for 5 years. It is my deep conviction that the state lawmakers need to revisit these criminal activities. The state leaflet provides more information about drinking. Driving under the influence includes not only alcohol, but any intoxicant, narcotic drug, or other drug producing central system effects, including prescription drugs. Alcohol is alcohol, regardless of whether it is hard liquor, beer, or wine coolers. A cold shower or a cup of coffee will not sober you up. Alcohol affects your physical mobility and your ability to reason and use good judgment. Large amounts of alcohol can do major damage to your heart, liver, stomach, and other critical organs. Nobody reacts the same to alcohol. Body weight, time of day, body chemistry, and mental state all affect a person's physical reaction to drinking alcohol. Large amounts of alcohol consumed in a short time can be lethal not only for you, but for your spouse, your children, your family, and your friends. Is it worth the risk? If you are going to drink alcohol, always assign a designated driver. The leaflet asks, "What about drinking under the age of 21? It answers, "Such drinking is against the law. 41% of fatal crashes involving teenagers occur at night between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. In Tennessee, if you are between the ages of 13 and 17 and found to have possessed, consumed, or sold either alcohol or drugs, your driving privilege will be suspended for 1 year or until age 17, whichever is longer. If you are between ages 18 and 20 and are convicted of purchasing alcohol, you will lose your driver's license for a period of 1 year." On the back of the little leaflet are these statistics. A single DUI conviction could cost you as much as $5,000 or more after all fines and fees have been paid. Potential costs of a DUI conviction include fines, court costs, bail, towing and vehicle storage fees, attorney fees, alcohol education program enrollment, driver license reinstatement fees, ignition interlock program costs, and higher insurance premiums. Instead of throwing away your money on a DUI conviction, think of all the wonderful things you can buy for $5,000. College tuition, family vacation, down payments for homes or cars, home entertainment system with high-definition big-screen television, pair of season tickets to a professional sports team. I wish I could get this small leaflet into the hands of all teenagers and of their parents. Maybe it would keep some of them from drinking and driving. I have one suggestion for the Pritchard. Hand one of these leaflets to every person who comes into your saloon to drink. You might just save some lives, if that is important to you. But you probably would go out of business if you keep your customers informed of the enormous damage drinking and driving does to our nation. Dr. Sanjay Gupta, medical advisor for CNN, wrote an article for Time magazine. The article has the title, Keg Parties and Cardiacs. The subtitle of the article is, Students Who Drink Too Much May Be Setting Themselves Up for Heart Problems Later On. A few brief excerpts from Dr. Gupta's article may be helpful. While Dr. Gupta was in medical school, he drank socially. When he had completed his medical degree, his thirst for alcohol waned considerably. He says, I didn't know it at the time, but drinking heavily, even as far back as college, could have increased my risk of heart disease. New research from the American Heart Association reveals that college students who drink excessively can double their levels of something known as C-reactive protein, a biological marker for inflammation that has been associated with a higher chance of cardiovascular problems. The study asked 25 college students to complete surveys assessing C-reactive protein risk factors such as smoking, medication use, and alcohol use. In case you are curious, I was. Heavy drinking was defined for the purpose of this study as three or more alcoholic drinks at least 3 days a week, or at least five drinks 2 days a week, compared with those of moderate drinkers, 2 to 5 drinks at a time, 1 or 2 days a week. The C-reactive protein levels of heavy drinkers were more than double, placing them in the zone associated with a moderate risk for heart disease. Page 76. Researchers have much more work to do on the effects of alcohol on the heart and on other bodily organs. But good sense and concern for the welfare of others should make us leery of touching alcoholic beverages. Have you ever heard someone foolishly say, if you leave alcohol alone, it will leave you alone? Satan must work overtime convincing people to believe such absolute nonsense. My Molly grew up in a family of teetotalers. Her grandparents, her parents, and her sisters avoided alcohol altogether. There was never any liquor in her home. But it did not leave her and her family alone. Her grandfather was a big man, about 6 feet 4 inches tall, and a very strong man at age 84. He was walking along a highway near Mayfield, Kentucky, when a drunk ran over him and killed him. The drunk's car hit him so hard, it knocked his shoes a long way down the highway. My wife's father lived a number of years after his father was killed, but he had trouble dealing with the loss of his father. Molly's father despised liquor and left it alone completely, but it did not leave him alone, nor other members of the family. Molly's mother, who was in her 80s, had visited with us in Dalton, Georgia. Molly drove her mother to Chattanooga to board a bus for Nashville. Molly's older sister and family drove from Murray, Kentucky, to get Molly's mother and drive her to her home in Murray. Just before they drove into Clarksville, Tennessee, a drunk came out of a side road and hit their car. Molly's mother was killed instantly. Her older sister, who Molly loved as if she were a second mother, died on her way to the hospital in Nashville. The other family members were severely injured, but they survived. Just months after members of Molly's family were killed by a drunk driver, my Molly lost her hearing. Several of Molly's people inherited a disease called otosclerosis. Webster's Medical Desk Dictionary defines otosclerosis as follows. Growth of spongy bone in the inner ear, where it gradually obstructs the oval window or round window or both and causes progressively increasing deafness. Page 503. Normally, the disease seems not to affect people until they are older. Molly was 44. She had 4 operations on her left ear and had to wear hearing aids as long as she lived. She was treated by a world-famous physician in Chicago. We must have made at least 25 trips to Chicago. Her illness cost us thousands and thousands of dollars. She suffered more than 31 years because of a drunk driver. Molly handled her deafness with great dignity, as she did all aspects of her life. One of my Molly's great joys in life was teaching children. for several years while our boys were in high school. She directed a nursery school at Dalton, Georgia. But after losing most of her hearing, she could no longer teach children. She said the children could not understand why she had to ask them over and over what they were saying. In addition, my wife was a pianist, but she could no longer play the piano. Stroking the keys caused her a headache. She did play her organ after her loss of hearing, but she could no longer play her piano, and she was a piano teacher. Do the Pritchards and other beverage alcohol manufacturers and distributors care when someone like my Molly suffers when a drunk driver kills or injures family members? I wonder how they would handle the situation if members of their own families were killed by drunk drivers. I believe we can say for sure that they would not cease making rum or whiskey or other intoxicating beverages. They make too much money to allow a little thing like the death of a loved one to interfere with their profits. I am so deeply troubled when our communities allow alcohol in any form to be sold. Anyone who thinks we can be a Christian nation or even a reasonable nation and allow that to happen has a different view of goodness than many of us. Is there any likelihood that conditions will change? I have serious doubts when politicians take money on the side to legalize and to protect those who make and sell liquor. If you think that does not happen, you are very naive. Let me return for just a minute to the wise man Solomon, who knew both by inspiration and by experience what alcohol does to otherwise reasonable people. Solomon asked a series of questions and then provides some answers. Who has woe? Who has sorrows? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They who tarry long at the wine. They who go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it gives his color in the cup, when it moves aright. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes shall behold strange women, and your heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, you shall be as he who lies down in the midst of the sea, or as he who lies on the top of a mast. They have stricken me, you shall say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Proverbs 23:29-35. There is not a person on earth who can deny what Solomon has written about strong drink. It is my considered opinion that not many will even try. He actually is describing a person who is addicted to alcohol. He quotes a drinker as saying, "When shall I awake?" He answers for the alcoholic, "I will seek it yet again." What a terrible hold alcohol has on millions of people. Will Pritchard's Saloon make it better? Are you aware that drunkards are not going to heaven? No, that is not my opinion. In his first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul provides a list of people who shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, covetous people, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners. 1 Corinthians 6:9. He also lists drunkenness among the lusts of the flesh that will exclude men and women from the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:21. Incidentally, he commanded the church of our Lord at Corinth to withdraw fellowship from drunkards. 1 Corinthians 5:11. God takes very seriously the sin of drunkenness. Do the preachers care what God thinks? Not likely. About 70 years ago, my father took me to Franklin, Kentucky to hear Sam Morris speak on the evils of strong drink. Sam Morris was known as a radio temperance lecturer and associate editor of the National Voice. My father bought me Sam Morris's book, Scrapbook Number 2. Sam Morris quotes these words from Dr. Richard Cabot, clinical professor of medicine at Harvard University. The excessive drinker does not usually drive when he is drunk. Moderation is thus more dangerous than excessive drinking as a cause of automobile accidents. There is no hope, therefore, of decreasing motor accidents by working for moderation. Only abstinence can make us safe. Page 35. Sam Morris included in his book the following poem by Annie Durham Methven. All over the land, in all kind of weather, liquor and death ride the highways together. They are friends, they are pals, they are closer than brothers, and they care not a whit for the welfare of others. They maim, kill, destroy every hour of the day any poor unfortunate found in their way. Why, they even have a license to snare and destroy, without mercy or reason, your girl and my boy. How long must we bear such conditions as these, be burdened and shamed by such dire tragedies? Shall liquor and death forever hold sway till they've wrecked every home in our dear USA? Oh, our brave defenders of the temperance band are still waging war on these foes in our land, and they'll never give up till the task is completed and the liquor death traffic once for all is defeated. Page 37. I wish I were as optimistic as Annie Durham Methven about the eventual defeat of the liquor-death combination. I dedicate the following poem from Sam Morris's book to the Pritchards. All hail, friends and neighbors. I've opened a shop at which I cordially invite you to stop. I keep liquor fire to sell to you all. Therefore, I beseech you to give me a call. I purchase indulgence from court and begin to deal out to my neighbors rum, brandy, and gin. I expect to make paupers for you to support, to help on the business your custom I court. I also make drunkards and beggars likewise, and then I am honest and make no disguise. I shall deal with foul spirits and hope to excite men to robbery and murder by day and by night. I shall drive away comfort and expenses augment. I shall stir up contention, on that I'm content. At a very small notice and a very small sum by the wonderful magic of brandy and rum. I fill your asylums and almshouses too. To your prisons and scaffolds I'll send not a few. I will send you, kind neighbors, if you will but call, a drink that will sicken and poison you all. Make accidents frequent, diseases increase, or those in existence more fatal at least. The trash I shall deal in will take away life, deprive men of reason, fill the country with strife. Make widows and orphans, our fathers make friends, the loud wall of thousands my business attend. I'll see that the youth are in ignorance kept, their morals corrupted, nor will I forget of natural affection the parent to rob. I'll foster insurrection and stir up the mob. I'll uproot religion, the souls I'll destroy, for none of my votaries shall heaven enjoy. Those spirits are priceless. I'll send them to hell, compel them in torment forever to dwell. Should someone ask me my reason to give, my answer is money, and money I'll have. By trading in whiskey, I can it obtain, and if I keep at it, why should you complain? Page 42. I close today with this brief poem, Alcohol is a Cheat, from Sam Morris's book. It cheats a man of his reason. It cheats a wife of her joys. Cheats a home of happiness, and cheats a child of its toys. Cheats little children of love, and cheats a man of his health. Cheats boys and girls of their chance, and cheats a man of his wealth. It cheats the babes at their birth. Alcohol, 'tis alcohol, that's the biggest cheat on earth. Page 62. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.